I'll be reading Isaiah 55, an invitation to abundant life. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.
I don't know how many of you have experienced the trust game, either in a youth group or at a convention or in some other group setting at a retreat or so, where either one person is blindfolded and another guides that person around the room or an obstacle course or something, or where you stand and there's a group behind you and you're asked to fall straight back and trust that the group will catch you. Now, depending on the group that you are with, this might be easier or harder to do. Our text in Isaiah 55 today is that trust experience for the people of Israel as they hear the words from Isaiah. It is a conclusion to the previous section of Isaiah, kind of the last 15 chapters or so, as we continue our study in the book of Isaiah. And several of Isaiah's main themes are woven together in this chapter of hope. It opens with an invitation. Come. Come to the water. It reminds me of the woman at the well in the Gospel of John, who comes to the water to draw from the well, and instead finds Jesus sitting there and finds very different water, who came thirsty for that which she did not know and found Jesus offering her far more than she could ever imagine. Come, come to the water. Come and eat, Isaiah says. And the only requirement are hunger and thirst. It reminds me of the banquet scene in Luke, where God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Not as a conspiracy against the wealthy, but a reminder that many refuse to come and that there's always the temptation for us to seek that which does not satisfy. Like those who spend their money for that which is not bread, and labor for that which does not satisfy, instead of seeking that which nourishes and sustains us. Isaiah says, come, here's water, here's milk, here's wine. It is free, like a street vendor offering free gifts to us. In the midst of the exile in the Babylonian Empire, which has kept God's people in bondage and filled them with unsatisfying things, Israel is invited to choose that which is free, that which is freeing, alternative nourishment offered by God. Why do God's people in exile invest so much in forms of life that cannot work, that cannot sustain, that keep them in exile, instead of responding to this new hope offered by God? Living in exile, God's people do not see hope. Isaiah prophesies hope that appears too good to be trusted. Should the Israelites believe that the God who had supposedly been with them before would now return them home? Is the God they have experienced, the God they know, worthy to be trusted? After all, they had been led to the wastelands of Babylon, and they felt abandoned. Should they listen? Should they seek God, respond to God, rely upon God? In the sense, with their loss of freedom, they had lost hope. They had lost the ability to listen, to seek God, to respond, to rely upon God. It is kind of like the puzzle I referred to in the children's story. Everyone is given a piece and only sees that piece and maybe can connect it with the pieces they see around them, but they don't see the whole picture. Only God knows and sees the whole picture. Could the people trust that their piece was part of that picture and fill in the puzzle? Isaiah is saying to the people, before you has been placed the challenge to perceive of new ways how God will fulfill his divine purpose. God's plan has not been defeated by the ruins of Jerusalem and the exile in Babylon. But the everlasting covenant is being expanded to embrace a whole new community of those obedient to God's word. There is no reason to doubt God's will and God's power to save you. So in verse 3 through 6, Isaiah continues, come, come to me, listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant. Isaiah dips into history, into memory. In Genesis 9, for the first time, God has established an everlasting covenant with Noah. In Genesis 17, again, we have a reference to an everlasting covenant as God makes one with Abraham, with circumcision as a sign of this covenant, which is more specific for Abraham and his family. Then in Exodus, we have the everlasting covenant with the Sabbath of the sign as the sign. The Sabbath keeping verifies the people's commitment to God. God makes an everlasting covenant with David. And as David is dying, he reminds the people of this everlasting covenant. Both Jeremiah and Ezekiel refer to the promise of the everlasting covenant. And so Isaiah speaks to his people who are asking, Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David? Isaiah speaks of that love of God and says, it's not over. God is still loving you. God still has an everlasting covenant with you. His care is not undermined by your current situation, but is anchored in your history. A couple chapters before, in Isaiah 51, Isaiah said, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Remember Abraham and Sarah. It was Abraham who moved off into the unknown at the call of God, who left what was safe and comfortable for a land whose name he did not even know. It was Abraham who was willing to risk his only son and his own future for the sake of obedience to God. It was Sarah who laughed in scorn of God's promise, but was transformed. She created a future through birthing a son and served God's impossibility in the world. Through her, God created newness out of defeat and barrenness. Against enormous odds, God established an everlasting covenant. Isaiah continues, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. God's people in exile have become distracted, preoccupied, and inattentive. And Isaiah calls them back to seek the Lord, to call upon God. Don't look for the blame with God, who says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. Israel is in a situation where it needs to cast away its pride, control, and confidence in itself and trusts in God again. It is in a situation where it needs to confess its own inadequacy and seek God's ways and thoughts. Because the Word of God is reliable and has power and will be successful. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. We don't produce rain and snow. They are forceful powers that produce something tangible. The earth is nourished, creation is sustained, and life is maintained. Isaiah 55 brings closure with a sense of peace from the grass-like inconsistency of human beings in chapter 40. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. And in it we recognize our limits, our dependence upon God and one another, and can align ourselves with God's sustaining word and ways. So we can be shaped by God. We can imagine and envision the wonders of God. It is a word of hope to the despairing people. And in the end, Isaiah, like the servant songs we had last Sunday, delights in the truth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I send. The power and reliability of God's word are a reason for hope and joy. God's water, God's word of is grace, life-giving strength, transforming power. Come to me that you may live. Henry Nouwen told of his experience following the Rodley brothers, flying trapeze artists through Europe. Nouwen was fascinated with the courage of the person who would fly into the air and then let go of the bar to swing their way across space in the circus tent. When Henry Nouwen told the father of the Rodley family of his admiration for these flying trapeze artists, the father responded that it is all about the catcher. That is where you ought to look, he suggested. It is up to the catcher to time the catch and be right there when the flyer comes. God is the greatest catcher. For ultimate salvation is God's accomplishment in calling us, to which we respond with rejoicing and singing. A call requires a response. An invitation requires an answer. An offering requires an acknowledgement. In new situations, every day in our lives, we respond to God's invitation to walk in His ways, to think His thoughts. As God urged His people in Babylon to leave the lifestyle they had grown accustomed to and to live in the way God had planned, to think outside the box, to leave Babylon and return home, to be engaged by Jesus like the woman at the well, to leave the boat and walk on water like Peter. God is inviting us to come, to drink, to eat, to live. So come to the table. Come and eat. This is the table of the people whom God calls and sustains. Here at this table, ordinary and holy, we come hungry to be filled. We come fractured to be made whole. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon the Lord while He is near. This is the table of the Lord, and all who call Jesus their Lord and Savior and have been baptized are invited. Children are welcome to receive the uncrushed grape and cracker. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come to your table, we confess that your work of becoming known to us is ongoing and ever-present. You created a world filled with abundant life, called into relationship, a people upheld by your love. In Jesus, you poured out your love for each one of us, and in so doing, invite us into your presence, where the weary world waits for your healing touch. Send us your Spirit, we pray, to gather us in as brothers and sisters. We come to your table now, not because we are good, but because we are yours. Amen. Jesus took the bread with his followers. He blessed the bread and broke it, and said, "This is my body. It is for you." And in the same way, he took the cup, giving thanks, announcing the new community made possible in his death. He declared, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood." Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your goodness to us. We give you thanks for this table before us. We give you thanks for your word that sustains us. We give you thanks for the church that holds us. Amen. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the way of life, the way of the cross, of Christian love, of peace and reconciliation. May our eating and drinking deepen our love for Jesus and for our brothers and sisters around the table. May our eating and drinking deepen our love for our neighbors and our enemies. May our eating and drinking deepen our love for God. Come and eat.